Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's a Monday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and it's a Monday in August on the Chuck Oliver Show, which means we got football later on this month. Real live Division I football, FBS and FCS football, not just multi-directional and hyphenated programs that may or may not play what we call FBS and Division I football. But we got that all coming up in just, in fact, I would say 3 weeks from right now, it'll be game week for a few teams. So that's just tremendous news. Chuck Oliver Show continues on this Monday, and coming up in, oh gosh, about 10 minutes, first-time guest, Jeffrey Lee, senior editor from Auburn's part of the On3 New Sports Network, which I said, it just debuted over the past 48 hours or so. No, it was 48 hours. It was yesterday, I think. Yesterday morning, On3 with its initial rollout, and there's a big story behind that. And so we'll be talking with Jeffrey Lee about Auburn, but then also On3 coming up. Again, in about 10, bottom of the hour, David Lake inside the U. Always love catching up with him. Right now, we get up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Ohio State quarterback commit Ewers to enroll with Buckeyes early. He is the number one recruit in all America. And I was telling you about this to begin in hour one. We talked about it, referenced it a couple of times. And that may have, during hour one, I think, is when it actually happened here. So it's official now. He was the number one overall prospect, any position from anywhere in the class of 22. He has now reclassified. Means he's going to enroll now. He will finish his high school studies on campus. And the, I guess, three-man battle to be Ohio State's starting quarterback. Well, there's a fourth scholarship stud in the room. I don't think that he is really in line to snatch a lot of playing time. He will play, and it will be as a reward and a thank you. And there will also be value to the program and Quinn Ewers if he stays in the program. Get him four games. Get him out there. Let him run around. And it doesn't just have to be – apologies to Rutgers, but this is your fault. It doesn't have to be just the fourth quarter against Rutgers. You can come up with a way for him to get out there and really experience something. I mean, like, not only at home, give him a road game. Give him a series on the road somewhere. There's your value there. 6'3", 205 pounds, South Lake Carroll, and he is the latest stud to come out of there playing quarterback, and he's going to land at Ohio State and do that early. Now, that's good news for Ohio State, I believe, and it's really great news for Quinn Ewers, and I think I'm a fan of that kid. I think I am. He seems like the mullet is – have you not seen his mullet? It's glorious. But he seems like a more mature kid than maybe a lot of other 17-year-olds in general, but especially 17-year-olds who all the adults have told him how great he is for however many years. He doesn't seem to have really caught on to that. But there's bad news as well, potentially. Headline, top 15 overall prospect decommits from Ohio State Buckeyes. Recruiting giveth and it takes away. Potentially, that would be Jaheim Singletary. He's a big old corner, 6'1", 180 pounds, kid out of Jacksonville, Florida. What are you doing committing to CBUS anyway? Go where the sunshine is and pretty girls. But he committed to Ohio State and decided that he wanted to decommit. We have David Lake. Dan, remind me before David comes on to ask him about the commitment, or excuse me, the recruitment of Jaheim Singletary, because Miami is listed as one of the possibilities. I think this is going to be a Kirby thing. He's been committed to Buckeye. I don't mean anything to Kirby. He's been committed to Ohio State for a minute. And I think he's going to wind up in Athens. Kirby, whatever it is, that word relentless, it just keeps coming. Everybody you ask is like, what does he do? He's just relentless. He doesn't care if he bugs you. You were already committed to Ohio State, for instance. What does he care? Jaheim Singletary. So we will find out more about him. Final headline, and this is important potentially if you're an SEC fan. Headline, Louisiana Tech quarterback Anthony behind in recovery. He's supposed to be a senior quarterback. It's Luke Anthony, and he had a leg injury last year, started 8 games in 2020, but again had the injury week 15 against TCU, when everybody else was in week 15. Against TCU, had a bad injury, and is not healing as quickly as was forecasted back in whatever, December. Now, this is unusual for it to be this blatant. Skip Holtz, head coach there, he went into the portal and got Austin Kendall, the kid who was at OU that transferred to West Virginia. He went and got him a quarterback specifically because his returning starter's like, yeah, you were supposed to be healed and running around by now. And I mean, you talk about a hit and a half. This is a head coach saying, I am not expecting him at the beginning of the season. Now, why is that important? They open against Mississippi State on September 4th. So you may have Austin Kendall there. Like, class is starting. Practice is starting. Austin Kendall's like, I'm there. Where is it again? Rest in Louisiana. How do I get there? Yeah, I'm your guy. Because he wants to fling it around for 1 year and then go play pro football. So that could be important if you're a State fan. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a break. Come back, talk a little Auburn next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 53 sticks. We about put a 7th candle on that cake. September 14, we cut the ribbon on this, and so we're about to hit our 7-year mark. So I appreciate everybody making that blessing possible. Thank y'all. Speaking of blessings for a lot of individuals, folks I know personally, as a matter of fact, a lot of them, and I don't think I could have said this as accurately on Friday as I say it now. Want to welcome on from On3 Sports, because I don't think it really launched until yesterday. From On3 Sports, senior editor when it comes to Auburn and the coverage there, it is Jeffrey Lee. Jeffrey, how you doing today, brother? All right. We will get Jeffrey Lee on here, and I bet you fewer than 5 seconds. But On3 Sports, it is college news and college recruiting. And you can get that, again, on Twitter. You can follow him at On3 Sports or J Lee AU Live On3. It is Jeffrey Lee. Jeffrey, welcome, man. How are you today?
Doing well, Chuck. How are you doing?
Doing good. Appreciate you making some time today. Tell everybody about the launch of On3. It is coming out in phases by, the middle of the month. It's going to be guns a-blazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The On3, the national network, the big site, launched August the 1st, and we've had a couple of team sites with a soft launch, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and then we'll have 6 other sites launch in the next 2 weeks. looking at the Auburn Live site, which will be the Auburn site on the On3 network. It should launch in the next couple of days, and I guess that's when things will heat up over here on the plains.
And if you're following Jeffrey Lee on Twitter, for instance, you got good recruiting news. I believe it was, yesterday? Auburn got a 4-star defensive lineman, a commit, and that's all it is. That's all you can get in August. But they got a commit, a local kid from Lynette, which is just up at the state line with Georgia. Talk about what happened with Auburn and Caden Story.
Yeah, he committed to Auburn over UCF, which was, if nothing else, a big perception win for Auburn. Winning out over Gus Malzahn, UCF. But he's a local kid here around Auburn. So those are the guys you got to keep home. Nick Easton has done the defensive line coach there at Auburn, the new one. He's done a fantastic job of coming in and developing some relationships with these 2022 kids, and was able to go in with Caden Story, whose brother is up the road at Alabama, and get him to stay home and fill a big position of need.
If we talk just bird's eye, flyover of the Auburn recruiting over the last 7 months or so, since Coach Harsin and the staff was finalized and all that, I've had conversations on this here show myself with my hand raised saying, I wonder how this is going to go over with about half the staff really new to the Deep South, certainly with the relationships, the high schools, the coaches, et cetera. It's still another 5 months or so before anybody can sign. What's your view? What's your understanding? What's been your observation of Harsin and the staff and how that recruiting has gone?
It's been tough, and for the reasons that you just mentioned. You know, Auburn didn't fill the staff with Southeastern guys that high school recruits are already familiar with. It's not like Kirby Smart or, you know, these guys that these kids had already been recruited by. These half the staff's coming from the Northwest, and it's have no relationships. So it's been a struggle, but it's been Auburn fans need to be patient with this class, because I think you can't view this staff, the recruiting prowess, until the 2023 class when they're on even footing with other programs. They've been able to develop some relationships with these high school coaches, with these high school kids, and they've put a lot of focus on the 2023 guys. They've brought in just as many 23 guys as they did 22 guys last week for their big recruiting event, Big Cat. But still, with the 2022 class, they're really making – they've got some momentum now. You got Caden Story committing yesterday. You got 4-star DB Kobe Albert from the Birmingham area committing later this week. I like Auburn's chances there. Auburn's going and recruiting some guys that typically are – historically, the school hasn't. You know, they've reached out to – you know, they've got Oregon and California, and they're going up north. They're going Midwest. They're not going head-to-head with Georgia and Alabama and Florida and LSU, not at least with the 2022 guys, because I think they understand that there's little to no chance at this point of beating Alabama, Georgia head-to-head on a 5-star or 4-star guy. So I like what they're doing in the short term, in that they're putting this 2022 class together with what they can, getting some guys that some people don't think they can, and then I think you'll see going back to a more traditional system next year in the 2023 class.
Again, follow him on Twitter at @JLeeAULive on 3. That's Jeffrey Lee again from On3 Sports. Again, launched officially yesterday. It'll be wide open by middle of this month. All right, let's talk about on the field and what's going to happen over the next 29 practices or so. What does Bo Nix do best? Like, what do you think Mike Bobo looks at and says, all right, this is the corner we're going to fight out of. This is the best skill he has. What do you think that is?
Well, I think he's a leader. I think he's a leader on the field and off the field in the locker room. I think he works as hard as anybody, if not harder than anybody. He studies. He is a film guy. He knows the offense. He's very smart. He's got a lot of talent. I think it's just been a roller coaster ride for him in the past 2 years under Gus Malzahn. The lack of consistency, the lack of really coaching. And I think that's what Mike Bobo and Brian Harsin both are bringing to the table with Bo Nix, is how much better they can make him, how much more accurate, how much more consistent, how much better of a decision maker for him. I think he's got all the tools. We've seen it. We've seen his potential. We've seen his talent. He's just got to get it all and put it all together. And I think that's what Mike Bobo, what Brian Harsin, they both had history in doing that. And to me, that's the thing that's the most important to this Auburn team, is how big of a step, how big of a jump Bo Nix makes in his game this year.
A lot of that is going to be tied to the offensive line, and that is about the last thing. Like, a fan base with a great offensive line doesn't even really like talking about it. It's about the most boring part of a football team. An Auburn fan really doesn't want to talk about the offensive line. I have heard some, I'll say, not even cautious optimism, but folks think that this line could actually at least, you know, be at the waterline this year.
Be improved. I think that's the goal. You know, giving Bo some time, letting Bo develop some confidence, not only in himself, but in them. We saw a lot last year of him, you know, bowing out and taking off out of the pocket when he really had some more time. But at the same time, you couldn't really blame him because of the shots he was taking. But that offensive line, it needs to be improved. It needs to be at least adequate. And I think from everything we've heard in all-season training and coming out of the spring was that these guys – have that potential, and I'm not saying to be good or to be great. I'm just saying adequate, and I think that's going to be, you know, the expectations for this line. They've got some guys. They've got Alec Jackson, Nick Broms. They've got some guys coming. Brandon Council's coming in. You know, so there are some expectations there for them to be much improved, and they're going to need to be in order to give Bo Nix some time to improve himself.
Last thing I want to ask you about is the series with Georgia, because, you know, in my lifetime, even back when I didn't care about Auburn or Georgia in 1980. I mean, I was like a fifth grader. But Georgia wins a national championship. Auburn fires its coach. But the very next year, Coach Dye comes in. And so he starts to put his thumb on the scale. So I don't think that the Georgia-Auburn rivalry, there has ever been a bigger gulf in these two programs, and not in my life, than there is right now. And honestly, there has been for the past 5, 6, 7 years, it seems.
Yeah, and that's because we saw it firsthand last year, the difference in the lines, the big guys, the big uglies up front, the poor job of recruiting Gus Malzahn did along the offensive line, towards the defensive line dominated. The difference in recruiting between Georgia's classes the past, you know, 7 years as opposed to Auburn's. And I'm talking about the big guys. I mean, we saw how important and how big of a difference between Georgia's lines last year and Auburn's lines. And it's been that way. Gus Malzahn never recruited well the offensive line consistently at Auburn. Kirby Smart does it every year. And you finally saw just the culmination of all of that in this, you know, last year, and just dominating on both sides of the ball. It was embarrassing for Auburn. It really was.
Well, Jeffrey, I certainly appreciate you making time, man. We will talk to you soon again as the season gets closer, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you having me on, Chuck.
All right, Jeffrey Lee again from On3 Sports. And as far as the overall strength of the programs, and maybe you crystallize it on the line of scrimmage, at least the O-line for sure. But yeah, I'm just talking yearly results. And there have been seasons where Auburn and Georgia were kind of shoulder to shoulder as far as overall, and they still don't win. I'm talking that's 60 minutes. Even in years when Auburn is really good, it has been. I said it was going to be job one for Gus Malzahn because he had kind of figured out how to beat Nick Saban as much as anybody else. And so if you say, all right, well, we'll put sandbags around that victory. Now let's add on to it. What's next? Well, the Georgia series. I mean, Mike Bobo knows what it is. Derek Mason knows what it is. And Brian Harsin knows what it is. He didn't really understand, though. That, again, and no, it's the Iron Bowl. Absolutely. 366 days a year. I swear, I understand that. That series. Remember, this current, quote, run for the Georgia Bulldogs in the series, it probably started with that 06 game. In fact, it did. That was also, that happened to be the year, I believe, that Tuberville was capping, what, 5 straight against Shula and about to get 6 straight against Bama the next year. So the Bama thing was figured out. Gus, more, like I said, much as anybody, Bama thing's figured out. The Georgia series? Not even close. And it really hasn't been, honestly, over about a decade and a half.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Well, everyone's back from their media days or football kickoff, whatever each conference calls it, and includes Manny Diaz. He was up yonder in Charlotte. Talked to us, as a matter of fact, live on the radio. And I asked him a lot about his defense and transition and everything going on over there. And that's because the very first question I asked him, I was like, how's the knee and not yours? And he kind of laughed. He's like, no, nobody cares about my knee. That is the big story. And so I asked him about defense and special teams and the continued development of the offensive line and three running backs that I liked, about everything in the whole dang team. None of it, in my opinion, Chuck's hand is raised. Chuck's opinion. None of it matters if Derek King's knee doesn't work. That once he's out there, and I've seen the video. I had a Miami fan send me a video of Derek King running around. It looked like a video game, just an unbelievable shot of him on this turf. And he was climbing the pocket and then changing directions. He'd bootleg out. And I was like, that's great. I need to see him with pads on. Was somebody going to hit him? That's when it really becomes important. And honestly, it could change. It's going to change their season. It could change the entire ACC. I'm not overstating that, folks. Which, if it changes the ACC, Clemson's there. If it changes the ACC, it changes the national championship race. Well, a whole lot of players you can say are coming back from injury. Oh, yeah, how's the knee? It could change the national championship. I think you can if you extrapolate that out from De'Eriq King, a man who hopes Miami does change the national championship, I believe. From InsideTheU.com, it is David Lake. David, how are you on this Monday?
Chuck, I'm doing well. Always good to be on with you.
Yeah, thanks for your time today. What's the latest on the knee?
Yeah, I mean, the latest, you pretty much summed it up well, you know. I mean, we'll see how it looks in fall camp. I think we got to take everyone at their word right now that De'Eriq is on schedule and will be participating in fall camp. I'm expecting him to wear a brace, which, you know, I guess is fairly obvious. But I'm with you. The health of that knee and his mobility in general is going to be a huge factor in terms of what Miami's ceiling is for this season.
Yeah, and I was saying, I mean, he was just a magician back there. And some of the times, some of the plays he makes running around, making defensive linemen, you know, they get that fat tongue by about the middle of the second quarter. He's so much fun to watch. But he's also a very impactful player. He's more than just electric and all those other adjectives. He's really, really good. But even at that level of a quarterback, you still have to have a complete team if we're talking about having a chance to beat Clemson and Charlotte, and that's our assumption. Talk about those guys up front, and I had referenced it there in the open, the continued development of the offensive line, because I think if you look at two calendar years from week zero 2019, and we talked about that in the moment when it happened, that game against UF, to what the line right. might be this year, I don't know that there's an offensive line literally anywhere in America that has undergone more of a 180 than that group.
Yeah, and if you count the starts that Miami features on their offensive line group this year, they have the most experienced offensive line in the country. I think that unit has 190 starts between them. I think, you know, they have seven guys that have started at least 20 games at the college level. So, quite frankly, they're going to have competition there. I think they could go nine deep. So it's exactly what Manny Diaz wants. It's exactly what offensive line coach Garrett Justice wants, because it's going to be about may the best man win, and they better be ready to go week one facing that Alabama front seven. So we'll know in a hurry, too, just how good
Miami's offensive line is too.
Yeah, I was chuckling. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine who's a Miami fan. He was like, you know, redshirting a freshman offensive lineman is kind of supposed to be a standard thing, not a treat. He's like, we may actually redshirt a bunch of freshman linemen this year, and was kind of laughing about it. I was like, yeah, you don't need to laugh. That's real. Continuing with David Lake from Inside the U. Talk about those three running backs. I asked Manny about him and the different, you know, diverse skill set and all that. Talk about the and I'm right, it's three guys in the mix, correct?
Yes, they do want a lead back to emerge, though. So they want to ride one of those guys 20 carries a game. But, yes, they're three quality backs. I think the veteran, Cam Harris, who's in his fourth year in the program, will get the first crack to show what he can do. But the two young guys, you know, second-year players, Don Chaney and Jalen Knighton, probably the more talented of the bunch. Chaney's kind of a do-it-all guy. And Knighton's like your electric in space playmaker that they can motion out to the slot and have run routes. So they do have plenty of options there, but they did feel like last year their production was limited because they shared the carries too much. So they want to allow one guy to try and find a rhythm during the course of the game. And you know, again, may the best man win.
If we flip it over to defense quickly, how much more aggressive do you believe the defense will be with Manny? Because he's got the whistle now.
Quite aggressive. I mean, that was. I think that's why the move was made. He's one of the more aggressive play callers in the country, and that's why he's back there now.
What about any freshman, as like true freshman, as far as getting real playing time? James Williams, Leonard Taylor, anybody in particular?
I think Leonard Taylor, I mean, he's a defensive tackle, and it's hard
it's
to project
easy,
line
no.
of scrimmage. Right, but he's special. So if there's anyone who can do it, I think it's him. I think they need to try to get him on the field. James Williams, I could see him get on the field early in, like, third down sub packages. And then, you know, I don't know if you care about kickers, but kicker Andres Borregales, who's the younger brother of Jose, he's going to be their primary kicker, one of the better freshman kickers in the country. So those are the three main guys.
If we go back to, I want to say the beginning of the 16 season was when they had the three freshman linebackers and they marched through the next 3 years together. And it was like the opposite of what, I mean, you knew, all right, well, we got three answers here and they're going to be here for a while. That is not the case at linebacker today. Talk about who may emerge and, like, circle a guy, a name that you say, David Lake says, hey, in December, this guy's going to be, you know, all ACC or similar.
I don't know if I could tell you one, to be honest. I think it's the biggest question mark on the team, quite frankly. I think everyone around the program likes the idea of Corey Flagg at middle linebacker. He got his feet wet last year as a freshman. But he needs to play better than he showed last year. Now he's put in the work, and everyone loves his work ethic, but bottom line is you got to produce. Weak side, I don't even know who it's going to be. There's like 6-7 guys that it could be. Pick a name out of the hat. It could be that guy. So it's a huge question mark, and if I'm Alabama in that first game, I'm testing that linebacker core by just running the ball all game long.
David, I appreciate your honesty, but I don't think Canes fans do. I mean, when I asked the Canes expert, and he's like, dude, your guess, I got six names for you. Pick, you know, spin the wheel. That's not the same as saying, like, Alabama's got six linebackers they love. It's a little different there. Appreciate the time, as always, David. Good stuff, man.
Take care, Chuck.
All right, David Lake again, InsideTheU.com. Yeah, Alabama's got, I mentioned they have the all three first-team All-SEC linebackers, and none of them are Henry Toutou. All right, who was a five-star, I think a high four-star, as good a linebacker as there was that transferred. He might have been, in fact, he might have been if he stayed at Tennessee where they were going to be on defense a lot, I believe, whether the offense worked or not. Everything would have been funneled right to him. He would have been as productive as any linebacker in the entire conference. I don't know that he starts at Alabama. In fact, there are three, again, first-team preseason votes. They do different things, and it's different roles, and it's whatever else. See, that's when you say, hey, man, you got six names. I don't even know. I've said that with some units. You know, the Georgia defensive line and edge and linebacker, whatever it is, I mean, if you talk about like Georgia's linebackers and edges from last year, I'm going to say those five players. I can give 11 or 12 names. I bet you I can give you 11 or 12 names. That's not the same as saying, I don't know, there's got like six guys. Maybe somebody will emerge. And that was Quarterman and Pinckney and McLeod, I believe, were the three. True freshmen, and they started week one and off and running. And they were going to be four-year starters. They made probably the right decision with McLeod, the one linebacker, but and now he's part of the mix, I guess, to replace a couple of first-round picks. So that defense, man, it just shows you that even at a place where you have upped the recruiting and you had quality starters and some depth in play, you snap your fingers, man. And from like the end of the 2019 season until the beginning of this fall camp, you go from having experienced upperclassmen, grown man depth as much as anybody in the entire conference to, quote, yeah, it's probably the biggest question mark on the entire team. I asked Manny about it. I was like, yeah, let's talk about linebackers. He's like, yeah, let's not. And he's the defensive coordinator now. Now, there is one, and any Alabama fan, if you're listening, this is of value to you. If you're a fan of someone who competes with Alabama and you want them to lose week one, this honestly is not going to be of much value to you, but it could be. It's your scratch-off ticket. And I asked him, I was like, how much more aggressive will the Miami defense be? Because that's Manny. He knows one direction. Like, there ain't no reverse. Beep, beep, no. He's going to heat up the quarterback. That's the first play of the, like, open the defensive playbook, hit the quarterback. Okay, I can do that. That makes it easy on a young player or an inexperienced player. You know what makes it easy on a guy in the in coverage? If it's, quote, the back seven, even linebackers you're dropping, man coverage. Now, it's not, quote, easy to follow through on necessarily. Then it becomes, you know, drop step, turn and go, how loose your hips are, all that, you know, cliches you hear Mike Mayock talk about because he knows it. Becomes about that. But as far as concept, line up across from number eight and just run around the field with him. That part is easy. So is, we're going to light up the QB today, guys. You're going to give up big plays anyway. It's modern day football. So at least get in the quarterback's helmet in the first quarter and you'll stay there throughout the rest of the game, man. Start seeing ghosts and hearing things. And I've had so many quarterbacks say, first guy who said this to me was Dave Archer. Played at Iowa State, played in the NFL for about 10 years. He said, QBs hate things happening around their feet. Because to have any chance of success on an individual play, he said, you take your eyes off the coverage, he says, you're done. So you have to keep your eyes downfield and you start feeling things happening around your feet. Like a lineman being pushed back into you or a D tackle who's on the ground who's swiping at your foot. He's like, that man, you just can't take it. So that's Manny's personality anyway. And when you have younger players, what do you want to do? You want to at least, there's the mental part and then there's the follow. Well, at least make the mental part easy. We're going that direction. And so that's going to be the approach. And again, Manny's, that's his default setting anyway. But especially when, you know, we hear sometimes, like with a young quarterback, that, you know, let's pressure him, we're going to force him, we're going to take away half his options. You get a young quarterback and you speed things up on him, so you bring heavy pressure off one side to force him to the other side. You take away half his options. Oh, he's a young quarterback. Maybe he's relying on his primary receiver, the outlet to the top of the field, whatever it is. We're going to take away half his options. Folks, you know why I laugh? Whenever that's talked about with a young quarterback, do you know what a lot of OCs want to do for a young quarterback? Take away about half his options. We want to limit what this kid's thinking about. So with a young QB, yeah, you may actually be trying to achieve the same thing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Gosh, it's already time. Wrap up on a Monday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Georgia has become a pretty good little rival with Alabama. I know it's not permanently on the schedule, but Georgia is one that we spend more time talking about Georgia. And then LSU grabs a lot of attention here, too. But it's Georgia probably one, two would be LSU. And then we do take note, Texas A&M, and now the new Longhorns will be a part of it.
Good Lord. Ryan Fowler, who, if you're listening to us in Tuscaloosa, I think Ryan's just about to start talking, isn't he? Ryan Fowler from Tide FM, 100.9 FM yonder in Tuscaloosa. And I was asking him about where Auburn and just the daily consciousness of Bama fans and the conversation on his station. Where is the Alabama as it relates? Oh, yeah, we play Auburn. Where's that? And he's like, yeah, Georgia, yeah, LSU, yeah, Texas A&M. Of course, there's Texas and OU now. There is no more fan interest in the actual games, Alabama and Oklahoma and Alabama and Texas, than the Iron Bowl. There's no more than that. But the story of them entering the SEC, it's a normal day anywhere in Alabama any time of the year when the number one sports topic is college football and Auburn and Alabama. Now it's mostly Auburn or Alabama, and that's mostly Alabama. And especially from the Alabama fan base. It's what it is. You look on the field and it's not anything. I mean, heck, I wouldn't vote for it. I don't get a vote. So it's where that program is overall, despite the fact that I said this early in the program, they figured out a way to beat Bama as much as anybody. It's the overall program. Now, until like last season, probably, I would say the opposite. Auburn and Georgia as programs, they're kind of shoulder to shoulder. And I know the recent achievements of Georgia, and I mean recent, like the past three seasons or so. And I know all about them. But as far as, overall programs for a longer time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, they're equal programs. Auburn can't beat Georgia at all. So two different challenges, certainly for Harsin and the new staff. That was Ryan Fowler again. Earlier in today's program, go to thepodcastpark.com. You can hear Ryan Fowler and Chris Landry, actually, I think starting today. Ryan and Chris have joined the Podcast Park as well. You can get this show every single day on podcast. Click subscribe and it'll just show up and it'll be awesome. All right, Dan's going to be here in a minute, but right now I'm going to talk.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
A VIP in college football just set a record that he does not want. Dude made the list faster than any public figure in list history. If you don't remember, the list is what I have on the side of my fridge under a magnet. It's the list of people who should stop talking in public because every time they do it, they make themselves look worse. And there's not a whole lot of folks on that. There might be like 10 or 12 folks. Just stop talking in public because every time you do, you make it worse on yourself. George Kliavkoff, new Pac-12 commissioner. Did I say that right? New Pac-12 commissioner. He's on the list. He is attempting to tell Greg Sankey what's what regarding playoff expansion. Quote, "Well, playoff expansion is certainly going to be readdressed," said Kliavkoff. I'm reading from a CBS Sports story. Who took over as Pac-12 commissioner earlier this year. More on that. Quote, "Remember, that was a two-year process done by four people. That proposal is good, but it's not done. We've misset fans' expectations. This is going to move on a very fast timeline." That is George Kliavkoff, new Pac-12 commissioner. He has 30 days experience of any kind in college sports. They hired him away from, I think, MGM Properties. He was like director of entertainment. He puts together entertainment contracts. That's why he was hired by the Pac-12. You've got a month of experience. Your conference has had one qualifier the past 6 years, and you decide that the best way to debut as the new leader of the Pac-12 is to threaten killing playoff expansion. When did any of us hear the SEC clamoring for playoff expansion? See, that's what he's forgetting. It was from your conference, George, the Pac-12 and Bowlesby, not Sankey or Slive or anybody else. And so if you want to hold up playoff expansion as some sort of threat to the team, to the conference that already gets at least one team every year, no question, it doesn't seem like the best approach. Not to me. In fact, opening more spots to maybe get your conference in every year, that would seem like a much better path for George Kliavkoff. Again, 30 days experience of any type working in college sports, and he's going to tell the SEC commissioner what's going on regarding playoff expansion. Not happening. George, you're on the list. That is my closing argument. Dan, what's up?
Yeah, you don't. It's one of those. It's kind of like in the movie Goodfellas. Paulie didn't move for nobody because he didn't have to. That's Greg Sankey now. Greg Sankey's not going to have to move for anybody, and especially two after this move.
He may not be sure who George Kliavkoff is.
That might be. That could be in play where it's
– he's got to ask like I just – hey, Dan did that. Like he may be leaning over Dan and Kliavkoff.
Who is that? Again, also, too, another movie or TV show. No, you're good. It's Mad Men. I feel sorry for you. Oh, I don't think about you at all. So that's maybe what's in play. All right, Quinn Ewers. You know, we talked about his decision earlier to go ahead and leave early for Ohio State. And he's not the first, and he's also not going to be the last to do this because we're going to see others do this. Where I'm going with this, Chuck, is we're going to see some do this and they shouldn't. It's the old kind of like my mini fridge rules right here is just because you can doesn't mean you should. This is going to be another one. Remember how I talked about too, I didn't want to minimize people opting out, but I do think that it was also a status symbol. I'm good enough to opt out. That's what's going to be at play here with kids who decide to try to do what Quinn Ewers is doing, is you're going to have kids that somebody gets in their ear, hey, somebody's willing to offer you some money, $10,000 to be able to do this. You only have a couple of credits to get finished with in high school. Then you can go early to college. I think you should do it, where then you're going to have the rational people who are going to be in the same room saying, yeah, no, you need those 12 games of high school football left over before you can go to the next level, and then you can go early to school, but still, you need more seasoning, you need more development, you need to be able to get on the field. Chuck, I think there is going to be the high school version of Jamie Newman in this, that there is going to be the kid who leaves early, and it does not work out well for him, and that's going to be unfortunate because there's going to be some wrong people that are going to be in his ear.
If you look at facility expenditures, it works when you're LSU or Georgia or Clemson or whomever. It doesn't work necessarily, you know, when you're Missouri. It's the same sort of thing. This may wind up being great for Quinn Ewers to get into a college program early. A three-star kid, he needs to play more high school football. In a lot of cases, that's absolutely true. All right, wraps it up on a Monday, folks. 22 hours from now, be back with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.